I get a magazine once every couple of months from a group that's very much like David Cloud's Friday News Notes. Got all these different things about, you know, who's doing what. And they had a link to a tract about abortion called Innocent Blood. And it was so good. It was so good. I said, I'm going to share that with the people and put copies of this on the table on Sunday. You can all have a copy each tonight, but I'm going to put it on the table on Sunday and people can read it. And there's some significant things in this tract that I hadn't thought of before about abortion. We're all against abortion, and we usually say, don't kill that little fetus because it's a person, you see. You're not supposed to kill, which is true. But that's not good enough for the abortion people and a lot of Christians either, because they think, oh, it hasn't got a soul yet, it hasn't got a heart beating and blah, 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 so we can just kill the thing, you see. It's not really a human being. So people think like that. But this tract, I'm just going to read it out to you and point out some things. You might have your Bible there to have a look, but maybe not, you don't have to, but I'll read it out. And it's called Innocent Blood, and it says, it has often been said that until it can be determined when the soul joins the body of a new baby, abortion cannot be called murder. So it hasn't got a soul yet, you see. It's not really a little person. This, however, is not the main concern of the Bible. It's not concerned about whether it's got a soul or not, or even a body. That's not the main concern of the Bible. The key phrase of Scripture is found in Genesis 9:4, where we read, the life thereof which is in the blood. Genesis 9:3-4 says, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Every moving thing that liveth, this is after the flood, you see. They were eating vegetables prior to that. But now, after the flood, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. Even as I gave you all the green herbs for food beforehand, I've now given you every living thing as well. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Ah! The phrase is the basis for many other passages that equate blood with life. Blood. And that call the shedding of blood sin. It's the shedding of blood that is the sin, alright? It's a sin to kill people too. But it says specifically about the blood, alright? What relation does this verse have to the problem of abortion? Just this, that every fetus has its own blood. And the shedding of that blood is as surely the taking of life as it would be in any other circumstance. It's the shedding of the blood that God is against, you see, is horrendous against it. Don't do it. Don't do it. What relation? The fetus has its own blood. You know, the little baby's blood is not its mother's blood. The blood does not come from the mother. It comes from the father. And once that little baby becomes a fetus inside that lady's body, it has its own blood. It's generating its own blood, and it's got its own heart that pumps it. It doesn't get the blood from the mother. Right? It comes from the father. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, but it didn't have an earthly father. If it would have been Joseph was the father of that, the Lord Jesus Christ, he would have had contaminated blood. Sin-contaminated blood. The blood comes from the Father. So who was the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ? My Father who is in heaven. Right? The Holy Spirit came upon the Virgin Mary and he impregnated her. And the blood that the Lord Jesus carried came from God. And with the human, the blood comes from the Father, not from the Mother. And the Father's not there joined to the baby in the Mother's body. So that little baby's blood is its own. It's its own blood. So I never saw that before. And then we got all these scriptures. Before the fetus is 3 weeks old, it has a beating heart. Also, its primitive vessels and blood are in the process of developing continuously throughout the months of gestation. At no time is that blood the blood of the mother. It came from the Father, but it's its own blood now because it's separated from the Father. The term innocent blood is used repeatedly in Scripture, and in each case it is clear that God attributes very great significance to that term. Note the following passages. In Jeremiah 2:3, thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoil out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong, do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow. Neither shed innocent blood in this place. Neither shed innocent blood in this place. And in Deuteronomy 19 verses 9 and 10 it says, keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, to talk and to walk ever in his ways. Then shalt thou add 3 cities more for thee besides these 3. He was talking about the 3 cities of where the murderer or person who killed somebody innocently could flee to. And in verse 10 it says, that innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. They've got these cities of refuge that they could go to when they shed somebody's blood by accident or innocently, and God wouldn't hold them accountable for it. These things, also in Proverbs 16 and 17 says, these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination to him. And we're going to have a look at the first couple. A proud look. A proud look. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. These things does the Lord hate. Hands that shed innocent blood. So, except for the blood of Jesus, there can surely be no blood more innocent than that of those babies being newly formed in the womb by the hand of God. That's innocence. The burden of guilt described in the above passages falls on anyone responsible for terminating the life of the unborn. How can anyone hold that the tiny body can be alive but safe to slay because it may not yet have a soul? Whether that's right or wrong. The Bible doesn't tell us when the soul is joined to the body. Surely God knew what he meant in Jeremiah 1:5 when he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And the Holy Spirit through David makes it clear that all my members were written when it yet there was none of them. God knew that. God knew. All right. If Jeremiah or David had been conceived in our time in history, could his developing body have been aborted and yet he would not be the victim of murder? It would have been murder. You know, I read a thing the other day about this. They're changing the abortion rules here in Australia as well. They want to be able to, ladies to be able to go longer term and then still abort them. Nearly up to birth. Legal to abort a child, a little baby, because it hasn't been born and hasn't taken a breath of air. It's not considered as a child. But that's not what God's getting at. Don't shed its blood. And how do they shed that blood on that little baby? You know what they do? They put an instrument inside the mother and they grab its little hand and they rip it off it. They tear that little baby limb from limb. And it bleeds to death. That's shedding of innocent blood. How can anyone do that? How can anyone do that? We live in wicked, wicked times. Wicked. 60 million. Over 60 million just in America since Roe versus Wade in the 70s. In the 70s, 60 million little babies have been aborted. That's not Australia and the rest of the countries that are involved in it. It's evil. It's totally evil. And God says, you shed innocent blood. Look out. Look out. That's what they do. They kill that little baby by making it bleed to death. They tear the little thing limb from limb. They want us to be inside with that. Oh yes, the woman's got the right to do that. Unreal, eh? Anyhow. The Bible does not state when the soul and body are united. Even if one were to hold that, just possibly the soul enters the body at some time later than conception, would he want to risk the wrath of God on such an unprovable matter? We don't know for sure. We want to risk our relationship with God by allowing this abortion stuff to happen? Like, oh, well, maybe it wasn't. Well, we don't really know. Are we going to risk it? Well, I've never ever thought I'd risk it anyway. And teach other people to do the same thing, you see. Yes, some might do so because there are many who do not believe the cardinal teachings of Scripture. But for those among us who still tremble at the word of God, as I hope we all do here, the thought that he said to Cain, "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground," in Genesis 4:10. It brings with it the awesome burden of those voiceless millions in our land whose innocent blood is being shed year after year, year after year. Must God visit his judgment upon us as a nation, he's talking about in America, as a nation, before we will recognise how grievous it is that sin is that sin in his sight? How grievous is abortion? The blood of countless millions cries out to the Lord. And it's on our hands. It's not on my hands, but I tell you what, it's on a lot of people's hands, this abortion thing. You know, what's her name? Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey. There's a movement in America. There's, shout your abortion. They're worried about Trump is going to, you know, ban abortion. And so they're now all rebelling. All the left-wing people are rebelling, having all these big parades and everything. Shout your abortion. I had an abortion and I'm proud of it. Unreal. They're going to answer to God. They're going to answer to God. And then you can have a copy of this. This is a really, really good fact. It makes you realise it's not just this killing of the body, it's the shedding of the blood. Shedding of innocent blood. It's not the mother's blood, it's its own blood. Yeah. So let's pray and...